Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here, Commander's just going to go with 1:14 to go. It's Daniels, pressured, floating one for the corner. Debo Samuel, he's got it. That's the exclamation point.
That was the touchdown pass on 4th and 7 at the Charger 8-yard line at the end of the game. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that situation. I actually think that they did the right thing. I won't bury the lead there, but I'll give you my explanation as to why I thought they did the right thing coming up in a moment. So the game take continues. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Getting to the things that I didn't like. I still thought that coverage was a problem. You know, early and even late on that drive that got him down to the goal line, just way too many people open. Thank God for the pass rush yesterday. They took advantage of that. They, you know, look, the player, Washington's pass rush is improved this year. Washington's run defense is improved. Now, last week against a team where the ball was coming out quickly, where they have a pretty good offensive line, the Falcons did, it was a non-factor really for the first time this year, although it wasn't much of a factor in the first half, especially against the Packers. But that pass rush was everything. But the coverage behind it still seemed early on to be, you know, lacking. Too many guys wide open versus zone or man. Easy pitch and catches from Herbert to Keenan Allen, Herbert to Quentin Johnson, Herbert to Ladd McConkey, Herbert to Tyler Conklin. Amarian Hampton had catches. 86, the tight end, I think his name's Gadsden, he had a catch. Again, I mentioned this, but early on, Herbert was 11 of 13 for 112 yards before the Quentin Johnston catch and fumble. After it, he was 11 of 16 for 54 yards. He got sacked 4 times, but was pressured 13 times in the game, 9 times under 2.5 seconds, and it was everybody. But, you know, even on that final drive when the ball was coming out quickly and on third down, you know, how many third downs before the interception did they convert just in easy fashion? You know, 3rd and 6, Herbert to Keenan Allen, easy for 11 yards. 3rd and 10, Herbert to Quentin Johnston, who made the catch at the sticks, moved the sticks. 3rd and 6, Keenan Allen wide open again, 8 yards, first down. I still didn't come out of that game feeling great about coverage, but as all of us know, longtime NFL fans, if your pass rush is disruptive and you're getting home and you are making him throw quickly and sometimes because of it inaccurately, that can solve a lot of your back end woes, and it did yesterday. You know, there was some sloppiness, you know, on the day, some plays getting in late, a delay a game, a timeout. They had to rush a play Tay Martin had an unnecessary roughness on a kickoff return. There were some penalties on that last, you know, epic 99-yard drive. There were two of them against Washington on one play. You know, a couple of drops. Chris Moore had a drop for a touchdown. Ertz had an opportunity to pull one in. It was not an accurate ball. It was high. But yeah, it was not the cleanest of games, certainly not early, for sure. But, you know, a lot of games, you're going to have not every play flawless. Chris Moore's drop, you know, I put on the list of things that were bad from the game. That was a big opportunity to get a touchdown on that throw. Really good throw by Jaden. But for the most part, the good way outweighed the bad yesterday. All right. So let me get to kind of the list of other things. So let me start with the opening kickoff. Do you guys follow that opening kickoff situation? So Matt Gay kicks it, first of all, into the end zone. You don't want to do that. And the Chargers are about to take possession, first drive of the game from their own 35-yard line. But there was an illegal formation penalty on our old friend Benjamin St. Juste on the kickoff return. And then it got very confusing because Burkhart and Brady kept saying, and the referee said the same thing. The referee announced it this way. That's what got them talking about it. Said that the Chargers chose to have the ball re-kicked. Well, you don't get to choose if the penalty is against you. It was Washington who chose to re-kick from not the 35, but after the 5-yard penalty at the 40, giving them an opportunity to keep the ball in the landing zone so that the Chargers didn't get first and 10 at the 35. So if you were confused by that, the referee, and by the way, Brady and Burkhart's discussion of it, it's real simple. Washington got to choose. Do they want to kick again, or do they want to give the Chargers the ball at the 35-yard line? Of course, you're going to kick it again. And they did, and it ultimately was an 11-yard difference in starting field position. All right, let's get to the end of the first half, which was really an interesting, you know, strategic setup, right? You're down 10-7, and the Chargers punt, and there's a minute 35 left. Washington, I think, smartly used their timeouts on defense. By the way, there was a huge play defensively when Amarian Hampton on a 2nd and 7. The Chargers are at midfield. You know, it's 10-7. They've got an opportunity to go get points, extend the lead, and there's a screen where Wagner is basically a free runner. Herbert throws it to Hampton, and Payne blows the whole thing up for -7. Washington uses, you know, a timeout there because now they've got a shot to get the ball back. Smart by Quinn. And then, you know, they check it down to Hampton well short of the first down. They use their second timeout, and now they force the punt. Washington takes over from their own 7. So very effective punt. It was a 54-yard punt that was downed by the Chargers at the 7-yard line. So 10-7, you're getting the ball to start the second half, and the Chargers only have one timeout left. You only have one timeout left. If they had gone conservative in that spot, I probably would have been a bit disappointed because I would have been like, wait a minute, with Jaden, you've always been aggressive. And you've got a little bit of momentum now. You got that touchdown. You got to stop. You get the ball back. Let's go get points and then get the ball to start the second half. And so they approached it aggressively. But the ball's high to Ertz. He can't pull it in. And then on 2nd and 10, that's the key play there. With the Chargers holding one timeout and a minute 30 left, and you're at your own 7, you may want to consider a run there to see, first of all, if Harbaugh will call the timeout. And if he doesn't, or if he does, then you can perhaps run it on third down and make sure that when he gets the ball back, there's like 40 seconds left and he's got no timeouts. Or the run might get you into position where you've got a makeable third down, and then you can go fast and try to get it. But what happened on that is they dropped Jaden back, and they dropped him back, and he got sacked at the 2-yard line. And now the Chargers did not call timeout after that. I was surprised. I thought they'd call their final timeout because now it's 3rd and 15 from their own 2. And Washington lines up and they let the clock run because now they're playing it, you know, somewhat aggressively, but not really. Now they're just, I think, in that moment hoping, let's not have a disastrous end to this half. Let's get to the break 10-7, start the second half with the football. But on 3rd down and 15, they drop Jaden back again, and he almost, it's close in the end zone to a reach and a strip of the football. But he throws deep down the field, incomplete, the clock stops. They got a punt with 50 seconds to go from deep in their own end zone. So there was an opportunity to play it differently, especially on 2nd and 10. You know, you run the ball there. Ultimately, the Chargers didn't seem to have a desire to use their final timeout after the sack, which was surprising. They didn't. They kept going for it, even from their own 2-yard line on 3rd and 15. And now they're punting from their own end zone. McConkey returns it for a touchdown, but we saw it. We all saw the flag get dropped. And it was just a question of, is it running into the kicker or roughing the kicker? It was roughing. Now they take over from their own 17 with 34 seconds to go, because the punt and the punt return took a lot of the clock. And they stayed aggressive. You know, they didn't have to at that point, but from their own 17 with 34 seconds to go, I didn't mind that at all. And the next play was the 50-yard bomb to McCaffrey. What a strange turn of events. There were so many ways for both of those guys to play it. Ultimately, all's well that ends well. The 50-yarder, McCaffrey makes an unbelievable catch. And then you get another one to Debo for 22 yards on a crosser, and you've got a chip shot field goal to tie the game at the end of the first half. Now I want to go to the end of the game. You know, the 13-play, 99-yard drive, and with 1:08 to go, they have 4th and 7 at the Chargers' 8-yard line, up 20-10. I actually loved this decision. I think it was the right decision to go for it and to throw it, you know, because you're not running the clock on a stopped 4th down play if you end up getting stopped, you know, short of the goal line or short of the first down or an incomplete pass. Incomplete pass, of course, would stop the clock. But the reason I liked it is up 20-10 and the Chargers having no timeouts with 1:08 to go. If you don't get it, they're going to start from their own 8-yard line, unless there's like an interception in the end zone, and then they'll get it at the 20. But I think the chances of starting at your own 7 or 8 yard line and needing at that point a touchdown and a field goal, not 2 touchdowns, you're going to burn way too much clock, even getting into field goal range for the first field goal. And then you got to recover an onside kick. And then if it's a field goal first, you got to get a touchdown. I think the chances of them tying the game down 20-10, starting at their own 8 with no timeouts, was less than if Washington kicked the field goal to go up 23-10. Now you got a kickoff return, and we've seen how those have gone. Or maybe they start from their own 35 after a touchback, or maybe it's a bad kickoff and they start from their own 40. And now, you know, you've got a full 1 minute and much better starting field position to potentially go and get a touchdown and then have a chance at an onside kick. I thought it was sound strategy. I thought it was right. You could argue both ways. I liked what they did and the fact that they threw a touchdown pass. And look, part of the calculus is, yeah, we got him at quarterback, and he can make a play here to either get us a first down or a touchdown, and he did. And that was ball game 27-10. What else do I have on this list? Loved the tempo in the game. Loved the fact that they really started to wear the Chargers out. You know, got them on the 12 men on the field on that speed option on that 3rd and 1. Preston Smith played. He was out on the field. Jordan McGee got his first significant, I think, regular season action on defense, and I thought he was an impactful player. What else did I have here? couple of you guys sent me that they were, you know, 2 for 7 on third downs. I didn't think third downs were a problem. Keep in mind, one of the third downs was at the end of the game when they were running the clock out before the 4th and 7. They weren't going to try to make the first down on third down. They were trying to run the clock. So that's one third down miss. And you had a couple of others that actually ended in field goal after a drop pass in the end zone. I didn't think that that was a big factor in the game. Yeah, and lastly, they're 5-point favorites next Monday night over the Bears. And as pleased and as rejuvenated as we all are this morning, it's week to week, people. This part of the NFL calendar is week to week. The first third to the first half of the season just never makes sense. So as pleased, as happy, as rejuvenated, resuscitated as we all are, a week from tomorrow morning, and it could be totally the opposite, as it was a week ago. This league makes no sense, especially first third to first half of the season. I do think the NFC appears to be pretty deep with several teams capable of winning 2 to 3 playoff games in January. And I would put Washington into that conversation with, you know, Detroit, Philly, I guess, Tampa, the Rams, the 49ers, Seattle, I mean, the Green Bay. This conference is loaded with teams capable of making deep runs. But who knows what it's going to look like a month from now? Who knows what it's going to look like 2 months from now? And that's still a month before we get to the postseason. It just changes so much. But 5-point favorites over Chicago, with the Bears having, you know, that extra long bye week. Played last Sunday, don't have to play again until Monday night. And we know what the storyline will be this week heading into, you know, part two of Caleb versus Jaden. We'll see that Hail Mary from last year, and it'll be nice to see it over and over again leading into this game a week from tonight. You know the Bears have played better, but who knows what they'll look like a week from tonight. I'll tell you this, you're not going to dominate the line of scrimmage the way you did yesterday, I don't think. But at the same time, maybe we can confuse Caleb Williams a little bit defensively. 5-point favorites. That seems to be the right point spread. I didn't think it would be 3, and I certainly didn't think it would be 7. So somewhere right in between. All right, your time to weigh in. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. I've got one other thing, just macro, about yesterday's game that I haven't mentioned that I'll mention when we come back, and then I'll get to your calls.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We certainly weren't pleased to be down. We were in this, it's ironic that we were in the same space. And so for us to be into that spot, I knew we'd fight back. But we did have a different vibe about us of coming on the road to have the energy we wanted to make our plays. It didn't quite start like we want. We went down, they got a field goal, and then got into the score after the penalty, and then three and out. So it was like, then we kind of settled in, I felt like, after that. But I thought the turnover was the big shift in the game.
Yeah, there is no doubt, because his other quote, and I read it earlier, I looked up and saw 10-0, and I said, expletive, beginning with the letter S, four letters in total. And he said, but it felt different. Watching the game, it didn't feel different because the first 22 minutes of that game, 21 to 22 minutes of the game, was a repeat of last week, minus the offense, because two drives, two punts. But people wide open and, you know, they're on the verge of making it 13-0 or 17-0. But the one thing that I wanted to say that I haven't said already before we get to the phone lines is the culture that they have built and the kind of players they have, you know, procured, there is a level of effort pretty much every week and intensity and urgency and a level of physical play that they attempt that is consistent pretty much week to week, even when the results aren't there, you know, in the win-loss column. I know many of you would say, you're out of your mind. They didn't show up against the Falcons. They didn't show up against the Packers. They didn't show up in the NFC Championship game. It's not my belief. I think Quinn and Peters and company, they have the right mix of players, and these players are tough. They set that tone on special teams as really the best kick coverage team in the league and now one of the best return teams in the league. I was looking at this after the game last night. Their special teams ranking in the league per the DVOA metric, number 2 in the NFL. In special teams DVOA. I believe in they're not going to ever, it could happen at the end of a season that's over and their injuries are everywhere. That happens with every NFL team. But as long as they're in the mix, they're gonna play hard. And I know that sounds like, well, what are you talking about? They get paid to play hard. That should be a given. It's not a given. It's not a given. Look at the Jets. Look at some of these teams. They, I think, are doing a good job on that end. All right, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Let's start with Brendan in College Park. Brendan, go ahead.
Morning, Kevin. Happy Victory Monday to you guys.
Yep.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize kind of what you were talking about earlier about Jaden and Debo being our most important players, and I think Debo has just been – so valuable. Before the season, I thought he'd be an all-pro. I think at least he'll be a pro bowler if he keeps this going. And it's just so valuable to have a guy who's consistent. Like, you can use him in so many ways. It's hard for the defense to really shut him down. I mean, even guys like A.J. Brown have thinkers, like a two-catch, 7-yard performance. Or we've seen Terry the same way. But Debo's just – he can get the ball in so many ways. So that was point number one I wanted to make. And then point number two is it's just funny how you always say can't judge – judge a draft till you're 3 years in. And, I mean, Luke McCaffrey has been a polarizing player for whatever reason to many fans, but it's just good to see him produce on special teams and produce with that bomb he caught. So I mean, you got rookies like Buka who come on the scene and they're good immediately. You got rookies like Jackson Smith and Jigba. It takes them a few years to really become a star. I'm not saying Luke's going to be that good, but yeah, thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
No, it's such a good point, Brendan, and it really is. I mean, everybody wants to know right away. And this just happens to be sports where you don't know right away. And in sports where physical maturity, mental maturity matters, it takes time. I mean, just look at the quarterbacks. I mean, you had Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield basically putting together one of the great combined quarterback games of all time. Did you guys know that Tampa-Seattle 38-35 game was record-setting in that they both were over 80% completion percentages in the game where there was, I think, more than 600 of, you know, total passing yards in the game. Mayfield 29 of 33, 379. Darnold 28 of 34, 341. These two were teammates on the Carolina Panthers and considered to be done. Baker Mayfield got that opportunity on Thursday Night Football with Sean McVay a few years ago, and all of a sudden his career takes off. Sam Darnold gets with Kyle Shanahan as a backup in San Francisco and then with KOC, and his career takes off. Like, you just can't, you know, you can't shut the door on young, talented individuals, because sometimes it's all about the fit. Sometimes it's all about the coaching, not the player. So, yeah, you need at least 3 years, maybe even more, depending on whether or not the player is on the right team or the wrong team. Let's go to Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, what'd you make of the game yesterday?
Hey, Kevin, good morning. You're right, it wasn't a must win, but it was a much needed win. You know, I was watching the Eagle game, and they were ahead most of the game, and I'm thinking we had a chance by sundown last night to be three games behind them. If we would have lost them, they would have continued to win, but it all worked out, you know, while they came back. But a couple of things that I noticed we talked about last week, pressure. Kevin, that whole game changed in the second quarter when he started sending extra men. So I appreciate Witt, the adjustments that he made, and we were able to get home a lot. Not only the D-line, but we were sending linebackers, we were sending quarterbacks. They couldn't block it. So I think that was, to me, the difference in the game, because that created a couple turnovers. But four things that I loved about the game, you and I talked about Debo back in the summer. Debo's a player. I knew he was going to excel in this offense. And Cliff is very creative on how he's using him. And Kevin, he didn't run the ball yesterday, you know, out of the backfield. He still made a huge impact in the game. Love Bill. Bill's got something to him, Kevin.
No doubt.
Amazing story right now, what's going on with him. He's got something to him. But the thing, two things that I think is very sustainable the rest of this year, and I think why we'll still be competitive, we don't have any more injuries. Our offensive line and our defensive line has been excellent to me all year. Our offensive line is not getting a lot of credit, but these guys have been balling since day one this year. And
well, the change to Paul and Allegretti for the Raiders game was a big move, and I think it has definitely paid off. And we'll get Cosme back, hopefully, sooner rather than later as well.
Well, I think Cosme will be there at right guard on Monday night. But the one thing I hated, Kevin, that second offensive play that Cliff called, we were second and two. And I like to fell out of my chair. I mean, I could not – I still can't believe he called that play. That was a design quarterback run, Kevin. What in the crap was he thinking about when he made that call?
I just – the second play of the game, and I just wrote down WTF, Cliff.
Like,
I need to go back. I need to go back and watch that play. I'm going to go watch it right now. But it was, you got a guy that hasn't played in 23 days, and you're running quarterback power on the second play from scrimmage. I don't get that. I'm going to look at this play again. It was empty, but they brought motion with Debo. And so Debo's going the one way, and then, yeah, it's a designed run. What do you? Cliff is fearless, man. And by the way, like he said on Thursday, he's like, Jaden wouldn't be playing if he can't be Jaden, and he's going to be Jaden. And we saw Jaden after really that third and 16 play sort of unlocked everything. But yeah, I was like, you come out and it's 7 yards to Debo, quick game, and you go empty and you bring Debo in motion, and then you run quarterback. Let me just see if it's a counter. I'm pulling it up here if it's just quarterback power. Because I don't, yeah, there's a bit of counteraction with Wiley, and he gets absolutely blown up on the play. Like, what are you doing? Why are we doing that on the second play of the game? I'm with you. But you know what? All's well that ends well. He ended up having a hell of a football game yesterday, for sure. What else, Bobby? All right, Bobby's gone. Anthony in D.C. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
What's up, Anthony?
So, on the good side, Jaden, Debo, Bill, and there was somebody else I wanted to mention. But as an aside, I see Mike Thomas and Bill, except with a little more explosion.
Who do you see?
Mike Thomas.
Are you talking about Mike Thomas from the 70s?
Yes.
Anthony, you're my guy. You know that, right? He was there are only a couple of us, all right? Mike Thomas was the NFC Rookie of the Year offensively in 1975. He was a fifth-round pick out of UNLV, basically the only draft choice of the George Allen era that ever paid off, and he was a great vision runner, to your point. I see some comparisons there, sure. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me.
No. Good call. Good pull.
On the not so good, the going in the halftime sequence, I understand being aggressive, but you have to be judicious also.
Yeah, that was – look, with five on the field, he's going for it. I mean, almost every time. I just thought – because it'd be one thing if the Chargers had three timeouts and they were going to use them to try to get the ball back, but there was a chance they weren't going to use their last timeout, and I would have tested them on that with a run on second down from your own 7-yard line. Yeah,
or run for on first down at least one run.
Yeah, at least one. Yeah, no, you can definitely argue that that would have been better strategy, but this dude with five at quarterback, he just believes. It's just like third and 16. You know, they don't check down. They don't run draws. They throw it to the sticks or beyond. It's the way they do it with him. And by the way, it's paid off a lot more than it hasn't.
And another one, only 20 runs. Only 20 running plays minus Jaden. I think Cliff needs to run the ball more.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. After the second drive, they moved the football, you know, and they scored points. They scored on 5 of 6 drives, and the only one they didn't was Kroski Merritt's handoff in the backfield where he fumbled. I'm sorry?
I said he got blown up on.
Yeah, was that Tart? Tart's really good for them. Yeah. He is 90 for them. The dude that used to be in Tennessee next to Simmons, he's a baller for sure. Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate that. Let's go to Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Yesterday was Jaden played phenomenal. When it comes to Jaden, I think the stat sheet isn't always a great indicator as to how he played. Our fans and people around the league nitpick every single throw he makes. He has to be 30 for 30 every game, apparently. And when it comes to Justin Herbert, right, this is a big topic that I really want to talk about. He always gets a ton of excuses. I mean, he's fast. He's really fast, but always acts like he can't run or create off schedule like the other elite quarterbacks. He has an elite arm, but I still see the same flaws that he had at Oregon. And to me, he doesn't show up in the big games. And Jaden beat him in college the same way. And one play in particular that nobody has pointed out, when Bill ran, it was, I think it was the third quarter, he came all the way back from where he snapped the ball, and he went out and chased him for Bill.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying with Herbert. You don't see that winning pedigree with Herbert. He has a great arm. And even you, Kevin, you switch up your stance on Herbert. You weren't a big fan of him. That's why I'm not a big fan of him.
Wrong. Like, Herbert's good. He's a really good quarterback. He's a top 10 talent in the league. You're right. He has not delivered in the big spots. I mean, you go back to last year's playoff loss. But you started with he doesn't run. He does run, and he is a really, really good runner, underrated as a runner.
Kevin, there was times where he could have stepped up in the pocket. The defense, you got to remember, there was times we were missing the sacks. He could have stepped up in the pocket, and that's the difference. Jaden made those plays. It's the same thing he does.
Yeah, but the pressure on him, I already gave you the numbers per, I think, true 13 pressures, 9 in under 2.5 seconds. He had no shot on a lot of those. Just like against the Giants last week. They not only went into the game injured, they lost Becton during the game. They lost the right tackle, you know, the guy, 79, Pipkins. They were coming and going. It was a complete and utter mess for them up front. And the fact that he actually got the results he got in that game, I think, are a credit to him. I was not a big fan of him coming out of Oregon, but I think he's a really good quarterback. I think you're being too hard on him.
I just think, as Stephon Diggs said yesterday night, it wasn't about what the other team did. It was about what we did. And I give credit to the defense for creating turnovers.
No doubt.
And that's
I'm with you. And
that's going to be the key going forward. We can't cover, but we've got to create turnovers. And another thing, too, Kevin, I want you to talk about. This is a big thing we got to talk about during the week. Do you think that the coaching staff doesn't have a lot of confidence in younger guys? Because even if Bill fumbled, it was like when he fumbled, Dan Quinn was just like shocked. Like, it wasn't like he was shocked, but it was like, you saw the worry in their face, and it's just like, we got to trust the young guys. It can't just be the veterans. There's so many young guys who contributed yesterday. Johnny Newton, Luke McCaffrey, Bill, Jordan McGee. We gotta play these young guys. Joe Witt doesn't have any excuse going forward saying, you know, Bobby Wagner's making all the calls. You got to play Jordan McGee. There's no more excuses. The young guys got to play. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. And keep in mind, you know, that drive after the fumble, they came right back to him. I don't know if it was that first play. I'm looking it up right now on the long drive from their own 1 yard line. Oh, no, the first one. I mean, again, you know, I got to go back and see if that was I don't think it was an RPO. The throw to Bates with Jaden moving right. And then they came right back to Kroski Merritt, and he had a big chunk run. Good for him. Let's go to our guy Bernie in Potomac Falls. Bernie, go ahead.
Kevin, Mike Thomas, number 22, UNLV, loved him. I mean, you go back to him. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Eddie Brown, too. But anyway, so a couple things. I know I listened to your recap. One of the things, you know, throw to McCaffrey, go back and look at it. Jane throws that flat-footed. He does not step into it. There's a defender right in his face.
Which throw are you talking about?
The one to McCaffrey before the half. He does not step into it. It literally looked like Aaron Rodgers. He just flicked.
It's a flick of the wrist sometimes, no doubt.
It is, but it's 50 yards with loft.
Yeah.
That accurate. You can't teach that. You can't even make that. I mean, that blew my mind. The other thing I thought was incredible is when James had Bill tackled for like a 4 yard gain on the one that he ripped off on the right sideline, he busts it outside. McCaffrey doesn't clip the wide receiver. That was great coaching. I mean, the corner. And Bill almost broke that. If you look, he got so low to the ground. He reminded me of like Emmitt Smith or Thurman Thomas. The way he settled his hips to turn upfield. If that guy didn't get his legs, I know what you're talking about. And that we haven't had that. I mean, we've had bruisers. We've had 6 to 7 yard runners. But the guy who, once he gets a foot into the secondary, can take it. That is, I mean, and plus, you only need to give him 15 carries. Everybody's saying feed him. 15 carries, 3 catches. I don't want him to get hurt. Last thing I'll leave you with, Kevin, is you said, look, get teach Bill how, you know, coach him up about pass pro, about all of that. They did that. I think it's effective. Do that with McGee, because McGee was in there on some key plays. He's the one who filled the hole.
He made some plays.
And if he doesn't, so what? He's gonna be the starter next year. So get him in there, do what you did, and they looked fast yesterday. I'm sure it was the turf, but they looked faster yesterday. Thanks, Kevin. I know you got a lot of calls.
Yeah, Bernie, good point too. You know, with McGee on the field, they definitely looked faster. And they need more speed on defense. You sent this to me, Max. Jordan McGee was in there yesterday for 12 snaps. That's the most. He's 24 snaps total in the first four games. I'm assuming those 24 snaps, a lot of them were at the end of the Raider game, the blowout, and he was in there for garbage time, but I don't know for sure. And in 2024, 15 total defensive snaps. It was nice to see him out there. He had a big TFL down at the goal line second and goal at the one. That was a 3-yard loss. I'm pretty sure that was McGee, right? Didn't McGee stuff the kid Vidal for a 3-yard loss on that play before the interception? Yeah, it was Jordan McGee. 3-yard loss, third and goal at the 4 instead of third and goal, at the 1 or a little bit better than that. All right, everybody on hold, stay there. I promise I'll get to your calls. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, happy Victory Monday, everybody. It was a rough start for the Washington Commanders, but they turned it right around after Quan Martin laid a big hit on Quentin Johnston to jar the ball loose. Commanders come back and score 27 unanswered points over the final three quarters. Washington wins 27-10. And Jaden Daniels becomes the first player in NFL history with 4,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards through his first 20 games. We look around the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys cruise to an easy win over the New York Jets despite an attempt at a comeback after it was already too late. Cowboys win 37-22. The New York Giants, they fall to the New Orleans Saints. Spencer Rattler completes two-thirds of his passes for 225 and a touchdown. Jackson Dart threw the ball 40 times and two interceptions as the Giants tried to climb back, but the Saints able to pull out the win 26-14. The Eagles, they went up against the Denver Broncos and were up 17-3 going in the fourth quarter, but the Broncos, they battle back and score 18 in the fourth quarter to pull off a game-winning field goal with 1:14 left in the game. Eagles try a fail Mary, and the Broncos win 21-18. Postseason baseball, the Mariners, they beat the Tigers by a score of 3-2 to tie the series at one game apiece. The Blue Jays, they smoke the New York Yankees in a game that could have been on NFL Red Zone with all that scoring. Vlad Guerrero Jr. hits a grand slam in the fourth inning that busts the game wide open. Blue Jays win 13-7. Tonight, got Monday Night Football on tap. The Kansas City Chiefs going to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Kickoff will be at 8 p.m. Pregame starts right here at 7 p.m. on the Team 980 and on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Second and one, give the handoff here. Kroski, Merritt has a wall. He is in! Touchdown, Commanders! 15-yarder for Bill.
Yeah, really good win, run by Kroski Merritt to make it 10-7. That drive started, and I've been watching this play on the All 22 with that 3rd and 16. Man, that 3rd and 16 throw to Jalen Lane was so big. I mean, they're back at their inside their own 20-yard line. He's got a great pocket to throw the football. That is excellent, excellent pass pro against the Chargers, and Lane runs it to the sticks. How many times do you see a young receiver run it short of the sticks on 3rd and 16, and that ball was out before Lane even got into his break. It's such a great throw, a great catch, and that kept that drive going. That was massive. If not, you're punting the ball back after the big turnover. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Joe in Springfield, go ahead, man.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
All right, so I will say that, you know, first off, can we please have all those insiders over the summer who thought Deebo Samuel was overweight put that to rest? Because he has been fantastic these last couple of weeks to start the season. Whether it's been Jaden or Mariota throwing the football, I mean, when he needed to make a play, he'll make it and do it. It's fantastic. On the defensive side, you know, you mentioned Deron Payne made some big salvage, but Javon Kinlaw, I mean,
yeah,
him and Payne
Kinlaw
together
was a presence
have
again.
Been
yep.
fantastic. Yeah, what a great addition he's been. But what I didn't like is third down defense. I understand that, you know, we were in the lead a couple of times, but we can't keep allowing those big chunks of yardage even with the ball. If you want to get the team off the field, you can't keep them on the field. The side note, look, we made a statement yesterday, big win in L.A. against the Chargers. Kevin, 3 of the next 4 are in prime time. You want to do this, get it done, because it's going to get tougher. I mean, Chicago, Dallas, Kansas City, Seattle, Detroit. I mean, Jaden's
yeah.
back. Let's get it done. That's getting easier, man. So take care.
Yeah, thanks. You know, Washington was the number one third down defense going into the Atlanta game. And after 2 games, have given up a lot on third down. They've fallen back to 17th in the league, it looks like, on third down. So that's why early numbers through 3-4 games, just so misleading. You got to wait for a much bigger sample size. Let's go to Keith in Brandywine. Keith, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kev. Listen, man, I'm still not impressed with Joe Witt, man. I think I don't like his play calling and the defensive, whoever the defensive secondary coach is. I'm like, I feel like we need a new, they got to go. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't want to look at the score. Don't look at the 10 because 2 plays, if I'm not mistaken, we had them like in second, and this is in a row, second in like 33 or something. And both times they either got the first down.
No, they didn't get the first down on second and 33. They went from 2nd and 33 to 3rd and 29 to 4th and 20-something and punted. They didn't get a first down on that.
No, you remember? No. Remember when they had the penalty and they called it back? He got one of them. He got the first down. The first time he got the first down, the second one came up 5 yards short.
Yeah.
You remember? Yeah.
Yeah, but the first drive of the second half, they just went backwards and punted. If that's the one you're referring to, there wasn't another 2nd and 33 in the game.
Where they had the 2 penalties in a row that backed them up?
Yeah, they had penalties that backed him up. Exactly. There was, you know, there was a holding. There was an illegal formation. Right. But what are you saying? They didn't get a first down on that.
No. But they still came. Close to getting it. With the next down, they probably would have got it.
No. Here it is. First and 10, second and 19, second and 28, second and 33, third and 29, fourth and 23.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get anywhere near getting a first down.
Okay. They when they threw the pass, I'm going to go back and look at it again.
Yeah, I think you're thinking about another drive. I don't know which one you're thinking of, but it wasn't that one.
Okay. The zone. We're not good in the zone, and I got a problem with how
we're not very good man either.
How to play. No. And then Bobby Wagner. I love Bobby, but I'm sorry. He can't cover anybody now, man. And zone, he's not covering. Man-to-man, they're putting a back on him, swinging him out the backfield. He can't cover. And I'm like, be creative. Put a defensive back in there and take Bobby out on certain most downs. Take him out. I'm sorry. Just take him out. And
well, Jordan McGee played more. Bobby Wagner, you know, was out there with McGee. They were both out there at the same time. So I got to go look at the snap count to see if they took Wagner even off the field. They usually don't. Wagner played every snap. He played every snap, even though McGee was in there for 12 snaps, the most he's had in a game since being drafted on defense. He's been in on special teams before. Thanks,
he's,
Keith.
He's slow. He's lost a step or something.
Yeah, we've talked about that. But hell, you know, the pass rush, he's good at rushing the passer. That's for sure. Let's go to Larry and Laurel. Larry's been on hold for a while. Larry, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing today, sir?
Good, Larry.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things I wanted to say. Number one, I really just wanted to hear more of your take on Jordan McGee. I thought Jordan McGee was he was just sensational yesterday, and I think he needs some more snaps. If you go back to the Raiders game, what they told him to do was, as soon as they hiked the ball, if they had a passing play, Jordan McGee ran immediately to the running back and just checked the running back. In this game, they got him on the blitz, and I really hope that when we go forward, that we're not going to be so, we're not going to just give it away. If we have to, put Jordan McGee on the field, blitz a cornerback so that we don't look predictable. And the second thing I wanted to hear you talk about, sir, was the offensive line. The offensive line has been doing an outstanding job, and if you could get us some more information about Brandon Coleman and why he's not even suited up, I'd love to hear that too. Thank you, Kevin. You made my day. Have a good one.
The Jordan McGee presence on the field was definitely noticeable. He was a free rusher on, I think, the sack and really created the pressure that I think Newton had. And then he was really good. And by the way, on the field, like, they were scrambling because I looked at this play and I'm pulling it up right now. He was basically, they came out onto the field on that second goal, and McGee was phenomenal in getting a big part of it. Kinlaw was huge on that play as well to get a TFL for -3, which set up the third and goal from the four, which was the play they got the pick on. But yeah, look, the offensive line allowed one sack, and they rushed for 160 whatever yards. That's a good day from the offensive line. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, hell to the W, man.
Yep.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, man. My man Jaden took them pink cleats off, put the black Mambas on, and went to work. Hey, listen.
Yeah, somebody texted me and said that they were, because October's breast awareness, Cancer Awareness Month, that's why he had the pink shoes on to begin with, but they were not working for him, and he switched those quickly, and it made a difference.
Hey, listen, man, he wears Kobe cleats, man. Like I say, he put the black Mambas on and went to work, man. But look, our season started at 30-16.
Yep.
That's where that season started, at 30-16, man. And then, like I've been saying, like Quan said, we chose violence and actually committed to the running game. Everybody loves Bill. You know what I mean? They threw the ball to Bill. They handed the ball to Bill, and Bill went to work. And we chose violence, like Quan Martin said, man. So, and that, to me, that's the formula. Start in the paint with Shaq, and then let Kobe go to work.
So is the paint Bill in the running game?
Yes, sir.
We're going down on the block?
Go on the block with Shaq. and then let Kobe go to work.
Right.
And that's what we did, man. That's exactly what we did. Hey, Phil Jackson got a little cute in the second half on that second drive with after the 27-yard run. He went 6 straight passes. You know,
he likes the triangle. Cliff likes the triangle.
But sometimes, man, you got to say after the triangle and get a ball to Shaq. And that's what we did, man. And then Kobe went to work, man.
Well, let me just tell you, Shaq did fumble once. Shaq missed a dunk.
No, but you got to put that on Derek Fisher. Wiley, man. Because he missed that
Derek
block.
Fisher.
He missed yeah. that block.
Right.
He missed that block, and the tackle blew it up. It arrived at the same time.
Yeah, still got to hold on to the football.
So, yeah, sometimes you get turnovers, man. You know what I mean? But you just got to know how to get back on offense, get back on defense, and that's what we did. Speaking of defense, man, hey, man, Dorrance Armstrong, man, that's James Brown, bro, the hardest working man in show business, man. You know what I mean? Salute to that dude, man. Hey, I give Joe Witt credit. Second half, he dialed up the blitz, you know, on that first series with McGee. You know what I mean? And then for the most of the second half, we was blitzing. So that's what I be saying, man. That's choosing balance. I don't care if the team does have a bad offensive line. You can't just always rush four. Man, you got to give the illusion that you bring in more than four at times.
Well, they dropped. They created the illusion a lot and then dropped, which was nice. By the way, would you comp Luke McCaffrey to Big Shot Bob? Maybe McCaffrey's Ori?
No. Big Shot Bob is Debo, baby.
Yeah, but Big Shot Bob doesn't participate the whole time. He just participates every once in a while.
Hey,
I got to run.
Luke McCaffrey is Paul Gasol, man. You know, you got to feed him his milk and cookies.
I'll talk to you later. If you're on hold, stay there. Ben may join us a little bit later. He took the red eye to get back. So G, Ross, Bobby, Bones, Jameer, stay there. We'll either get Ben next and then get to you guys, or get to you next and then to Ben. But it's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. I do want to tell you that this last segment was brought to you by IHOP, introducing the IHOP Value Menu, where all your breakfast favorites are just $6 every day. Where else can you get a big, filling, sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP Value Menu, available every day at IHOP, $7 in some locations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.